Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 9. We are 4 new mommies beta testing parenthood. And we apologize that we skipped a week. I take full responsibility for that, but we are back with a vengeance. And we've been writing a lot, so hopefully you're following along with what we're saying and writing about at mommybeta.com. On the line are Alex, Natalie. I am also Natalie. And we have a Jennifer, too. How are you ladies doing?
Great.
Great.
Glad to be back.
So this is the life of new motherhood, especially. Two of us haven't even taken showers yet. I'm one of them. Who's the other one?
Me. I haven't.
Jennifer.
I haven't either, actually.
No, so all of us.
Oh, so none of us have taken showers. You guys have more of an excuse because it's 9:30 on the West Coast, but it's noon. It's almost 1 o'clock here, and I haven't done any. I don't think I've even brushed my teeth. It's disgusting.
I'm super embarrassed, but I didn't take one yesterday either. So as soon as we get off this call, I'm hopping in.
Showers are overrated.
It's true.
It dries your skin out, and you shouldn't wash your hair every day anyway.
It's true. It's true. Personal hygiene in general just goes by the wayside. I don't know if anyone saw my tweet the other day, but I went on a job interview with two separate shoes on. Yes. Two different shoes.
Like just like the same style, but different colors?
They were two pumps. They were tan. One was like a greenish tan and one was just a straight camel tan. Oh, and I meant to, I put one on each foot and meant to go in the other room because only Miles' room has a full length mirror. So I went to go look which one I liked, but then I got distracted because I needed to change a diaper and then my clothes weren't ironed because we're moving. And so I just forgot that I meant to choose the shoes. And walked out the door. Oh. And I didn't even know it until I was on my way home. And I looked down and I'm like, what the F?
I'm like, they might just think you're introducing a new trend, fashion
very
trend.
Very fashion forward.
One was a platform and one was not.
Like, oh. Yeah, so I was wondering that. Are the heel sizes different? I mean, how could you not know your wall? Is one leg shorter than the other?
I don't know. I mean, they're both pumps, but one has a higher platform on the
I hope you were already seated when whoever came into the interview came in.
No, we walked. Like, he came and got me from the lobby, and we walked all the way upstairs to his office and then talked. But, you know, I was behind his desk, and then he walked me out. Like, so I'm a kind of old-fashioned. When I have a job interview, I always send a thank you note in the mail. And so I wrote in the note that, like, that I had discovered this on the way home and, you know, for some reason they want to work with me anyway, which is so hilarious. So I said, I promise from now on to wear matching shoes.
That's hilarious. You see these commercials where guys are in shoe stores and all the shoes look the same to them. So yeah, unless he's packed forward, maybe he didn't even.
Who colors? But can we really blame that on parenthood, I wonder?
I think so. I went to Nick's first doctor's appointment in my slippers.
I love that story. It.
So... I feel you there.
I remember asking you if you turned around.
I got halfway down the road and I had my slippers on and had to turn around, Natalie. So I pulled them out.
I do things I never would have done before. I locked myself out of the house. Yeah, I never. I lose my keys. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, once upon a time, we were fabulous and matched.
Oh, we are fabulous.
Yeah, we're still fabulous. We just
lose things and wear different shoes.
So anyway, let's talk about some of the things that we were writing about this week. Alex posted a rage last week or last podcast. She raged about people letting her kid fall off the bed. And this week she's raging about people letting their kids hit her kid in the playground. So Alex, what happened?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I will preface it by saying I may have overreacted, not at the park, but maybe in my blog post. I took Reese to the park yesterday and she was just playing by herself, crawling around, walking up to the slide, standing up, and there was this adorable 3-year-old little boy who wanted to play. So his mom came up and said, oh, he wants to play with her. I'm like, oh, how cute, sweet. So they were playing and he was really gentle at first. Then she started crawling and he looked at me. I'm like, oh yeah, she wants you to follow him. So he starts following and then he goes faster and faster and he just plummets on, like jumps on her. I'm like, oh my God. And he didn't hurt her at all. She was fine. She just kind of fell face forward. But she caught herself. And his mom said something like, be careful. And he just looked at her and they kept playing. And I didn't say anything because she was fine. But he continued to do it. So the second time I said, she's a baby. You need to be careful. And I used my very, very nice voice. You know, he's 3. He doesn't really, I don't know if he knew what he was doing. I'm sure he didn't do it intentionally. But a few minutes later, Reese was sitting playing by herself and he came and just pushed her and then hovered over her. And that's when I kind of lost it. Because she looked up at me in her sad little, with her sad little eyes and says, "Mommy, what's going on?" So I just put my hand between the two and I said, "No, please don't touch her. You're hurting her." And I think at that point, his mom realized it wasn't okay. And they went and I picked her up and we did a different activity. And they
did the mom apologize to you?
No.
Or to read.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
Was she paying attention or was she just kind of looking off somewhere else?
Yeah, that's a good point. She actually was paying attention, but she also had another child in a stroller. But she was right there watching over the older child because I think he needed a little more attention than the baby in the stroller.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like those people who let their dogs jump up on you. And I'm like, I'm not okay with your dog jumping up on me. And I don't think it's cute. And maybe some people just think, oh, it's good fun. It's fine. But I tend to err on the other side where, you know, even like Miles planting a kiss on Reese, I was sort of holding his hands and making sure it was all gentle. And even though they're the same age, you know, I'm always just kind of overprotecting because I don't want to be that mom where
right. And I think if, you know, Reese maybe was a little bit older and she could, you know, kind of not push back but run away or realize what's going on, I would have felt a little bit better. But she's so little, she's only one. And you know, so on one hand, I feel a little bit like the overprotected mom, but I just didn't know what to do. And what do you do if you're at the park and this happens again? You know, did I do the right thing? Do I say something?
I think you did the right way. Oh, right thing by, you know, taking her and doing another activity. And I don't think I know I wouldn't have the gumption to say something to the mom, but I know I probably would feel the same way as you as I would want to. So it's very impressive that you know, just kind of turned your head and went the other way and handled it.
Well, no, I instead reprimanded her child.
I think that's perfectly fine. You know, if she's not going to step in and do it, it's not as though you're bending him over and spanking him.
No.
You know? That might be a
little extreme. Even though I wanted to.
Yeah, seriously.
Get your paws off my little baby.
I think there's a fine line. And especially at this age, I think you totally, you know, you nailed it. Because first you said, you know, she's a baby, be gentle. And then, you know, you kind of separated yourself from the situation. I think the main problem to me is that the mom didn't say, you know, I'm sorry, or, you know, have the little boy apologize to Reese or something like that. I think, you know, their kids, they're going to be rough with one another. So, you know, you can't really, you know, I'm sure you don't blame the little kid, but I think the mom could have taken a more active role in kind of smoothing over the situation a little bit.
Right. And Josh, go ahead. Sorry.
But as the kids get older, at least from what I'm reading on other blogs, it gets more tricky about what you can and can't say to other people's kids. I think when they're this little, you know, to kind of do that is fine and kind of step in and be the moderator. But from what I gather, as they get older, you know, they're at the big kid playground, that letting the kids work things out on their own is kind of the norm, which I think is going to be really hard to do. I mean, I've seen kids, you know, fighting over the slide and wanting to be like, oh, you know, let this girl have her turn. But, you know, the prevailing school of thought, it seems, is to kind of let the kids fight it out on their own. So I think, you know, that's going to be a real transition. You know, if we're so, you know, kind of torn up about how to deal with these situations, I think those situations are even going to get harder.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Josh had a good point. He said, because he knew I was pretty upset. I was fired up. I'm like, let's go. But he had a good point. And that was that, you know, this mom had two kids and we don't know what it's like at home. Maybe that's the way he plays with his younger sibling.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, by pushing in there, and this younger sibling is used to it and fine. Whereas Reese doesn't have that. And other kids she plays with, they don't play like that. So maybe that's the case. And who knows? Either way, if he was playing or not, I just wasn't okay with the situation.
Hmm. Right. And I mean, that's great. That's fine if you want to pull your sister's hair, but
right,
a random kid you don't know, you know, the mom should know or be aware or say something. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, and definitely makes us wonder what we're going to be like when it does get, because it's inevitably going to get rougher as they get older.
Right. Well, and it's going to be our kids. I'm sure Reese is going to go bully somebody else. And already she takes people's toys. And I know she, you know, at this age, they have no idea what they're doing. But she's getting really comfortable just going up to kids and taken their toys. And so I take the toy back and I say, okay, we have to share, even though I know she has no idea, but still, I just want to start that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really like, how much do our kids understand? And when does that light click on? Because Natalie, before you were mentioning, you know, there comes a point at the bigger kids playground. Well, what age are you referring to? Are you referring to 6, 5, 8, you know, in terms of their communication skills or their emotions? Because someone had commented on Alex's post, and I thought it was a really good comment, is that these kids don't really, I mean, in some ways don't understand or empathy right now. Mm-hmm. So they don't know that that little baby is, like, you know, scared and doesn't know, because their mind is only holding so much information, and then they don't understand that the baby doesn't understand, you know?
Yeah. Well, we could talk about this forever, but keep the comments coming on mommybeta.com, because this is a heated topic and a fun one to talk about as well. Let's talk about sippy cups, because Natalie has been reviewing sippy cups since most of us are making a commitment in our life to get rid of plastics, which is kind of fun, actually. I have to say it's been frustrating at first to realize how plastics are everywhere, but then once you start to choose products that you feel good about, it becomes addicting. And then I'm like, well, what else can I replace? And so the search has been, you know, for me, a labor of love. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but Natalie, you went through a bunch of sippy cups, right?
I did. I was lucky enough. I had some samples sent to me, FTC disclosure there. And I also bought some on my own. And Alex also tested one that she bought on her own. And you know, all of these cups, unfortunately, have a little bit of plastic. It's pretty much impossible to find a cup that has no plastic whatsoever. But all of the plastic that in the cups I tested was number 5 plastic, which is the safer one, the polypropylene. So big winners were, drumroll, the Clean Canteen, which I think is my number one. I had a little hard time deciding whether it was the Clean Canteen or the Life Factory bottle, but I find myself using the Clean Canteen all the time. And basically, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's a stainless steel, like sport bottle, like, you know, mom or dad would carry around when they're hiking, or I carry one in my purse all the time. And then it has kind of a narrow neck to make it easier to hold. And then it has a little plastic sippy top. And then it has a little vent, or a silicone venti kind of thing inside.
No,
and it's, oh, go for it.
I have a question. So the top, then, you just don't wash the top in the dishwasher, right?
Because right. Actually, I don't wash any of it in the dishwasher because it's painted, and it's this kind of like natural water-based kind of paint to make it all safe, and it's kind of sensitive. And actually, it's the one thing that I'm disappointed about with this cup is that it's already started to chip. Mine's bright yellow, and it's already started. The paint started to chip away a little bit, exposing the stainless steel underneath. But it still looks cool. It looks used. It looks like, you know, kind of rough and tumble. So that's okay. And that's the kind of vibe the cup has anyway. It's, you know, that kind of like crunchy nature cup kind of thing, which, you know, I'm not totally crunchy, but, you know, obviously I'm becoming a little bit more so. So, you know, I think I like the vibe of the cup, and it's just, I mean, it's indestructible because it's stainless steel.
I think
and
we're
Nick
all a
loves
crunchy.
It. Yeah,
we make our own baby food. We use cloth diapers.
Totally, more
we're
and more so.
Crunchy.
And we're talking about offline here. We've been talking about cloth sea pads. We'll talk about that later, though. But anyway, this cup. It's
oh, and just quick, Natalie. You can for the clean canteen. You can buy them just stainless steel, right? You don't have to buy the painted one. So.
In the sippy cup size, I think they come in non-painted. I'm not 100% sure on that.
They do. I'm looking at the website right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get it just brushed stainless is what it's
right.
called.
And I would, because I'll probably buy one more, and that's probably what I'll buy is the brushed, so I don't have to deal with the chipping.
You know, I was looking on Pottery Barn, and they sell these for kids on Pottery Barn Kids, and you can get them, you know, with their names on it, because Miles loves Spider-Man, so I was thinking maybe I'd get him one that says Miles, but if the paint chips so often, then to pay an extra $10 for that name engraving, I think probably is not a good idea then.
Yeah, and then you can't pass it down to baby number 2.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I'm Jennifer's really into monogramming. I don't really have much monograms.
Hey, you could scratch it off. Sounds like the paint chips right off.
Good idea. I am into that monogramming lately. Those are my favorite things. So anyway,
that you might like your birthday present.
Ooh.
So, you know, how did you test all of these? You just let him kind of dump it all over himself? And you, I know you tested for messiness. And what are some of the other criteria?
Yeah, so I did. I basically just rotated the cups in and out over probably about a month period. And I evaluated for messiness was an important one, kind of their distinguishing quality, because all the cups are a little bit different and have, you know, one was more of like a big kid's cup with training wheels, and one was almost more like a bottle. And, you know, they all had their kind of unique signifiers. And let's see, messiness and flow is really important. I don't think I broke that out separately, but some of the cups are really hard to drink from.
Yeah.
So the my top two winners, the Clean Canteen and the Life Factory, both have great flow.
And that's actually why I also like the Pura stainless steel.
Yeah.
Toddler bottle, because Reese has no problem drinking from that because it does flow so easily. And that was, in terms of the mess factor, maybe a little too well, because sometimes she likes to just bite on the spout and just have it dribble down. But she gets right. a lot of water, so it works.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that's the ultimate goal of these bottles, right, is to deliver the most water we can. Because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I find that he doesn't drink a whole lot. But with these two bottles, he really does. And I like with the Life Factory one, because it's glass, I can see how much he's drinking, which is awesome.
Yeah. How much is he drinking? Because Miles, you know, loves water, but I'm never sure how much to give him. And then he'll gorge himself and then spit up his food because he's got too much water in his stomach.
Well, I haven't had that problem, but usually I'll fill up a sippy cup at the beginning of the day, like with breakfast, and he'll drink from the same sippy cup all day long. Sometimes I have to rinse it off if it gets food messy all over it. Uh-huh. But I'd say maybe, like, when he was Miles' age, we were using one of those small little Playtex plastic cups, mm-hmm. which probably holds, I would say, like, maybe 8 ounces. And he wouldn't probably get through a whole one of those during the day. So I'd say he was drinking less than 8 ounces of water a day.
Wow, that's great. Because so from what I've read at their age, Reese's age, so 11, 12 months, they should be having anywhere from at least 4 to 6 ounces. And still, she's only drinking about 3 ounces a day. She prefers her milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
So I'm working on that.
Well, they're getting water in the milk too. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, the fruit they eat.
Fruit and vegetables. Yeah. So I'm just worrying, especially because it's hot. I'm like, am I dehydrating him?
I think you just give him the opportunity. And if he's thirsty, he'll drink. You know, if you can give him, always present him with water at meals and, you know, give him sips, you know, between meal times.
Yeah.
I think you're fine.
That's helped a lot.
And if you pee a lot or he has, you know, a lot of wet diapers or normal wet diapers, then I think that shows that he's fine.
Yeah. I don't think he's dehydrated. I just, you know, like I feel like I kind of went the other way because he drinks so much water. And Clayton says he gets that from him, that when he was younger, he drank so much water that his parents had him tested for diabetes because they thought, kid is drinking way too much water. He just loves water. So he can't get enough of it. He's obsessed.
That's good.
Yeah. So
I have a question too about just the etiquette of, you know, teaching our kids to drink from cups and things. With the sippy cups, I know that a lot of them are really durable and you can bang them around and you can turn them upside down. Do you guys do anything to sort of counteract that behavior so that once they transition to like a bigger cup, they're not going to be doing that? Like without the, you know, the lid or anything?
I do a little bit. I mean, if he's really banging, sometimes he'll really bang it on the tray and it gets really loud. I'll usually, you know, tell him to be gentle. But he doesn't turn it over a lot. He more likes to make sounds with it, which I'll usually try to put the kibosh on if it's getting too noisy. But, you know, sometimes he throws it, and that's just, you know, kids throw stuff off the high chair.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, they're learning right now, so I probably wouldn't worry about that too much.
Yeah. I haven't actually introduced a sippy cup to Elle. I've just been feeding her from a regular cup, mm-hmm. but I haven't, you know, given it to her to hold or anything like that. She just drinks from a regular cup.
Yeah, and we don't really use sippy cups just because our pediatrician had said not to, and I posted about this. So he uses a straw. So it was the same, you know, to find a stainless steel cup with a straw was the same issue. So most of the time I just give it to him in a glass cup that I drink out of, and I hold the straw. And I found some stainless steel straws that are not plastic because, you know, really usable straws are the worst kind of plastic. And so that seems to work fine too. And then he's learning to hold the cup himself. So we have.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so because he never used that interim sippy cup.
Do you use when he holds the cup himself, he holds a glass cup?
Yeah. Well, I do it with him.
Okay. Yeah.
I noticed.
Natalie, what are the names of it?
I'm sorry, what?
I was just going to ask about the stainless steel straws. Do you know the name?
I don't know the name. I'll post it in the show notes. Okay. They're really affordable, and they were, you know, you can't let him, I don't let him play with it by himself. I'm afraid he's going to poke himself in the eye.
Yeah, right.
And there's some glass ones too, but I do like the stainless steel ones.
Reese does the straw, and she does really well with it.
Yeah, you just have to stay with him, you know. Mm-hmm. We won't have to forever, but I don't mind doing that, especially because he's not drinking that much water. Although sometimes, you know, his dad and I will go to Starbucks and both get our iced lattes, and we get him an ice water in the Starbucks cup, and he gets super excited about that. And they usually write on it "for baby," so he can hold the Starbucks cup with ice in it and drink from the straw. So he's a little Starbucks man already.
That's really cute.
Now, Natalie, you also posted about potty training, which I think is so interesting. Your nephew, you say, is getting ready to go through this. And tell us some of the questions you have, because I have these questions too, and we're going to solicit some help from our listeners.
Right. I mean, there are so many questions about potty training. So the one thing that I'm kind of focusing on right now, because I've been tasked for his second birthday to get him potty chairs. That was the request from his mom. So I'm on the hunt for, you know, what do I need to know about potty chairs so I can make some good decisions for my little nephew, but also kind of have this in my arsenal for when Nick's ready for it. So, you know, I've heard that, you know, maybe you shouldn't use potty chairs because then they get used to having a potty chair and they won't go on the regular potty. Or if you use potty chairs, just supposed to get one for the bathroom and one for the play area and, you know, all the different kinds of potty chairs there are. So, you know, I just want advice. If you had a potty chair that worked really well for you or one that didn't work well for you, if you didn't go with the potty chair and you just did the little ring that sits on the toilet, how did you do that? Do you need a special stool to get on? You know, just kind of questions focusing on that piece of equipment right now so I can kind of get that lined up so when we're ready to actually do the potty training, we have the equipment. And some people say that, you know, you get the equipment way before they're ready to potty train, so they're familiar with it by the time they're ready. So I just want advice. So if anybody has some tricks of the trade when it comes to potty equipment, I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, this daunts me because the thought of, like, I can clean cloth diapers. I clean my own cloth diapers and that's fine. I just dump the poop in the toilet and I'm fine. But the thought of, like, dumping the poop out of a plastic reusable and then cleaning that out, regularly, that gets me a little bit more than the cloth diapers. Am I alone in this?
No, not at all. You know, but I can picture you going straight for the real deal and holding him, you know, then you don't have to worry about that. The thing that daunts me is, you know, out and about and they having to go potty and then having to go, you know, in the public restrooms and put them on the regular potty.
Yeah. Ew. Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
I still won't sit on a toilet. So
my sister actually, sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just going to say, so I probably won't let Reese sit on a toilet in a public restroom. If I can help it.
Hold her above.
What is Miss Jennifer about?
Oh, I was going to say that she actually takes one of those little plastic potties with her now. She bought three for her triplets whenever she was trying to learn to potty train, and they never used them. They treated them like toys. And I have a video to show that. And but she does use them now, like on road trips and things, you know, for the car. So they don't, if they have to potty, they don't have to pull over to, you know, stop or something like that. They can pee and then pour it out or whatever.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So what did, if she didn't use the potty chairs at home, what did she use?
They just ended up using the real potty.
So did but she they have didn't like potty, one of those little they, rings things so that they don't fall in?
Like an adapter?
No, I think she was like pretty much in the beginning when they were going to go, she always went with them. So she was helping them, holding them on the seat. And they were just before three when they were potty trained. So a lot of kids I know are usually around that age. But I know some kids who are trained as early as a year and a half. So it really varies. And I think it also depends on the kids you have around you. Like if you have an older sibling and you see them using the potty, mm-hmm. then you're probably more likely to be potty trained earlier, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But for them, they would just play off one another. Like, oh, she's still wearing her diaper. I'm not going to use the big potty, you know? So
yeah.
Yeah.
They all did it at once.
Oh, that's interesting. Peer pressure. She's my hero. I can't imagine. She must have been just taking trips to the bathroom alternating.
Oh, my God. We did try the thing where you take off all the pants, you know, and then you set the potties all around the room, and then they'll go that way. bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Was it because there were three of them? Because that's kind of my game plan is next summer, I'm just going to let him run around naked in the backyard. And, you know, when he has to pee, I just get up in the potty.
Okay, backyard is a lot better than your living room. Yeah.
So that didn't work for her?
No, it didn't, unfortunately. And I was the one that gave her that advice because I was working with a parenting expert at the time. So, but I think having three of them had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you can't focus. Because they say you're supposed to just totally, it's like the 3-day potty training and you block out your calendar, you don't leave the house for 3 days and you just focus on the kid and you give them lots of water and every time they start to pee, you put them on the toilet and say, keep you on the potty and you sing a little song to them. Yeah. And it's supposed to, you know, it's supposed to work, but I guess that's hard with three babies.
Yeah, they would look over, one would be squatting in the corner, the other one would be going right beside them.
Oh my God, I can't believe we're talking about potty training. They're getting so big.
I know, but have you heard of elimination communication? That's that's another way. I wonder, you know, you can start that any time, and I can see when he's about to go. So, you know, you could always maybe use a little bit of that, although some of the elimination communication
parents use
no diapers. You don't ever use diapers. I mean, there are parents who believe that they potty train their babies at infancy, where you look at them and you know when they're about to go, and you take them to the bathroom and you put them over the toilet. And you have to do that constantly, and then they believe that the babies, you know, understand. They put their babies in underwear at like 6 months old or whatever. It's crazy.
Props to them.
Yeah. I mean, you have to literally just stare at them forever. You have to always be staring. I mean, I don't know how you would do it at night either, because they're going to...
I think they usually use diapers at nighttime.
Yeah.
At least for the littler babies. I looked into it before Nick was born, and I asked my OB about it. And I was like, so, you know, I heard her tweeting about this thing. You know, what do you think? Am I crazy? And she looked at me, and she kind of rolled her eyes, and she was like, yeah, you're not.
Yeah, props to the people who do it. I got some, when I was writing about this for CBS News, I got a lot of people who said they tried it and they liked it. But, you cannot look away, you know, because you have to constantly be reinforcing them about to go on the potty. So, you know, I think we can learn something from that if we're diaper users, but who knows? You know, most of the research says that they're going to potty train when they feel like it. You know, there's so... Anyhow, Jennifer, you talked about car seats. So let's talk about a different kind of seat. What is this about using a used car seat? Is that something you're considering?
No, I was just curious because I was having a conversation with one of my mommy girlfriends yesterday, and she has just transitioned her little boy to the bigger car seat. And she said, so what are you doing with your infant car seat? And I said, well, keeping it, of course. Never crossed my mind that I would get rid of it or it wouldn't be good enough for my, you know, second child. And I asked her, I was like, well, what are you doing? And she said, oh, we're selling it. And I was like, huh. Well, you know, before I had Elle, everyone was saying, the one thing you should not buy used is a car seat. And I am a Craigslist whore, if you want to put it that way. my crib, I got off Craigslist. My her little bookshelf dresser from Craigslist. So I am not afraid of the used market. But so I was really curious to hear, you know, what sort of market there was for selling a used car seat. You know, and she had mentioned, I forget now that I moved to the burbs, you know, space is a big thing for living in the city. So I totally get that seat out of the way. And then, but she had mentioned, you know, maybe technology will have changed a little, or they may have made some advances by the time the next child's born. So would you, you know, is it worth keeping that chair around if there's a chance you're going to buy another one, or need to buy another one? And then, you know, if it's not good enough to buy a used car seat for your first child, why is it good enough for your second child? Is it because I know where that seat's been, kind of thing? So I just wanted to get you guys' opinions. So please weigh in.
Well, I think you're right in saying, you know, why is it good enough for the second baby if you wouldn't do it for the first, is you know where that car seat's been. You've been the one taking care of it. You've washed it. You know it hasn't been an accident. But as a general rule, I don't think it's totally a bad idea. I know that we bought for my nephew, I bought a used car seat, a convertible car seat off of my mother's club for him, because car seats are expensive and his parents just couldn't afford one. And, you know, it was, you know, I couldn't afford to do, you know, the $300 on a new car seat for him, but I was able to do one, a used one for him. Really good condition off of the Mother's Club. I don't think I would do it off of Craigslist. There's just not that level of trust. But in the Mother's Club, there really is. And the stuff that's on there is really good quality. And you can trust when someone says that it hasn't been in an accident. It wasn't expired. I did all that legwork. And I put a big sticker on it to tell my sister when it would be expired so she knows. You know, and I printed out the instruction manual off of the internet and, you know, did everything I could to make it like a new car seat for her. I cleaned it, made it, you know, beautiful. But I think that if it's a question of affordability and if you can find it from a trusted place, I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And how did you know if it was expired or not? Where did you find that information?
There's a label on the seat. If you kind of pull off the cloth part, I think it's probably in a different spot on every car seat, but there's always a manufacturer's label that tells you when the date it was made. And then you can look on the internet to see that particular car seat, what its expiration or its lifespan is. I think it's either 5 or 6 years. I can't remember offhand. And then you just kind of, you know, count forward and figure out when it's going to be expired. And this car seat still had, you know, three or four years of life left on it. So it was, you know, a perfectly good car seat to get him through where he needed. So,
mm-hmm.
And I also looked for, we have a used car seat that we use when we go to California, because I didn't want to be traveling with our car seat every time we went to see my family. So my mom just got one off of Craigslist, and I found it, and I searched for specific model numbers. So I knew which ones that I liked, and then found those. So I wasn't just kind of looking for a generic one for weight. And then, you know, my sister had said she picked it up and it was only $20. And she's like, yeah, the people that we bought it off, you know, I wasn't thrilled with them. And so, you know, you rip off the top and you clean it from top to bottom. And and I was okay with that. And I don't know why, conceptually, I was like, well, he only uses this, you know, a couple weeks out of the year. It's not his main one. And his main one I didn't really want to use. But I'm not sure, now that I think about it, I'm like, what's really the difference, you know?
Yeah, I was questioning that myself here, because my mother-in-law takes care of Elle maybe a few times a week if I'm lucky, and she doesn't have a car seat, so she's sort of restricted to her house. And I'm just thinking, once Elle gets older, you know, they're probably going to want to go places. And I was thinking, well, should I buy these car seats are expensive, but is it right to buy a used car seat for that time? Because there's just as much of a risk there as there is in my car.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I agree with pretty much everything, Natalie Gafori, that you said, in the sense that if you do your research, you clean it yourself, you meet the people, it's just basically like anything you buy, do your due diligence. That's all you can do at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I certainly feel comfortable buying a used one. We actually bought one for Denver, just because we're going to be going there, and I don't want to travel with her. She's transitioned from an infant car seat to a toddler car seat, and just too bulky.
Yeah. Yeah, those are a pain in the butt to travel with, let me tell you, because we had to travel with one to my Disney assignment, and man, was it. And we didn't buy one of those bags that Jennifer had written about on her post. So pain.
Well, it was actually a little roller. It wasn't a bag. That it was just like, you know, like the, looks like a little carry-on luggage thing. You just strap your car seat to it and roll the kid down in the car seat to the gate. So
that's,
it's like
great.
Roll-on luggage. Yeah. I was happy with it. We'll have to talk about it at a little later date. I can recount on that post.
If you don't have one of those, then, you know, it's just like I'm with the stroller and the carry-ons and the diaper bags, and then daddy's like, oh, this is just so much a pain in the butt. And I'm like, but we need it. That's the alternative, which you don't want. And that brings me to what I've been writing about lately, is that I've been just crazy busy with, you know, moving, and then I've had a couple of work assignments that have taken us around, and lately I begin to notice myself feeling a little bit hostile when I feel overextended. And I think that's normal. Everyone feels hostile when they can't get their work done, or they feel like they don't have time for anything. But yesterday I was thinking to myself, I put Miles down And I said, I need to get some exercise. I need to take some time for myself and take a breath because it's been too much. So I went to the school nearby and just did some laps on their track. And while I was doing that, I came across a podcast by a woman that I've been reading her book. Her name's Christiane Northrup, and she's an OBGYN who also is sort of a more holistic self-wellness and self-help expert. So she is a real OB, but she also talks about the ways in which our thoughts manifest into either illness or things in our bodies. I think her work is fascinating, and I'm reading her book right now. It's called Women's Wisdom, Women's Bodies. And so I was listening to one of her podcasts about time management, because I realized that, you know, the things that you think really become manifestations in one way or another, either in your body or in your life. And the fact that I've just been so overwhelmed with time lately I've been obsessed about it. And so in this podcast, she mentioned a book, and I don't remember the name of the book, but I posted a link to the podcast. And she says that if you constantly are telling yourself, I don't have time, I don't have time, then that will be your reality. You will feel like you don't have time. There'll always be something else. But if you calm down and you think to yourself, I do have time, her theory is that, or this other book theory that she was talking about, is that time expands to fit the things that you prioritize. And then she talks about, like, you know, don't kill yourself trying to make your printer work on your network if you have someone next door who can do it for $25. Like, you know, try and, I guess, outsource the things that you shouldn't be wasting your time on, and then use your time on the things that you're good at, things that bring you joy, and your day will expand around you. So she has this concept of the time fast, where you're not allowed for a day, a week, a month to say, I don't have time, or I'm too busy, I can't do that. So I'm trying to do that. I'm going to try at least for a week and not say, because that's something that my husband and I are saying to each other perpetually. And we're constantly passing off the baby. Like, we enjoy our time with him, but then we're passing off the baby. Like, here you go. I don't have time. I have to write a mommy beta post. I have a deadline for, you know, this, I gotta go. And that creates a frantic atmosphere. So I'm on a time fast. Who's with me?
I think it's great.
I am. Yeah.
That is great. Natalie, can you give some examples of what you're like, how you're going to implement this?
Well, yeah. You know, so I have deadlines. I write for Consumer Reports. I do some freelance video work. And then I'm also trying to put together a house that's, we have literally no furniture. I'm sitting on the only chair in our house. I've got to go to Home Depot. I've decided to paint this changing table. Darn you, Natalie, for inspiring me to do these home projects. I really want to paint this thing, but I don't have time because my inbox is going crazy. I have this deadline. And so I'm thinking to myself that I don't have time. And then when Clayton comes along and he asks me, did you send this check to my mom because we're going on a trip with them in the fall? And I'm like, no, of course I didn't do that because I don't have time. And that's my initial reaction. Like, when would I have been able to do that? And that's the kind of reaction that I think creates my own reality, because I react with stress because I feel stress, and that perpetuates more stress. Mm-hmm. So instead, I'm just going to change my thoughts about it and not say to myself, no, I didn't have time for that. I'll just say, not yet. And then I'll get to that. And then I'll just get to the things, and slowly they'll start to unfold before me, and my days will, in theory, expand to those things.
That's great. Well, I want to hear more about it as you go along.
What is, can she, in her opinion, like, if you're not supposed to say you don't have time or you can't do it, are you supposed to say yes to every opportunity, or is it okay to tell someone you can't do something because there's just not time for it?
No, I think you choose to do the things that you know you can do, and you choose to, you know, not do the things that you might otherwise choose. So it's not when someone, like, you know, if you, for instance, if Clayton asked me to send his mom this vacation check, you know, I'm not going to say no to that. Right. I've already committed to it. But if I had too much to do that day and I couldn't do our banking, I might say, I actually can't fit this in today. Mm-hmm. I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe you can do that, or something like that. It's not so much doing everything. It's choosing the things that you know you can do, letting the things you know you can't either be outsourced or wait till tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then in your head telling yourself, you know, just changing your thoughts, mostly to yourself, mostly the conversation to yourself, and to other people, saying, I'm too busy. I can't do it. And I heard this speech. Who was it? The guy, Terry Semel, who used to run Yahoo, was talking about how, you know, he liked to be generous in spirit with the community that he liked to donate to. But mostly he just wrote checks. He's like, I just, you know, give money because I don't have time. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know which resource is more valuable, because to give your time to someone is so much more of a commitment of spirit, I think. And so that's, I don't want Miles to grow up thinking, God, my mom was so busy. Like, oh, she always had something to do. So if I wanted to, I mean, you know, it's a cat's in the cradle kind of thing. and I just want him to feel like my mom could stop for me when it was appropriate.
I think that's a good thing you're doing for him.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys feel, Andrew, you
and for yourself
a lot of,
too,
a lot of freelance work that you do as well. How do you conceive of it? Or do you just own, you know, am I the only one who feels like time is a commodity that's so precious?
No,
definitely not.
I kind of went through that and kind of reorganized my day, because I constantly felt like I was checking my phone. For example, when I had a couple hours during Reese's awake time and I would go to the park, I'd put on the swing and, you know, every few minutes I'd just be checking to see if there was an urgent email. And so even though I'm contracting, I'm constantly on. And I just realized I had to reprioritize. The whole reason for contracting is so I would have that flexibility. And so I've become very aware that when Reese is awake, it's her time. I'm away from my computer, even if it's maybe on. Jennifer, you and I am a lot. I'm not sitting at my computer. It's like, hey, if I see you, I'll respond to you. But that's really important to me, to be able to spend that time with her, and I'm able to kind of separate that. And the whole thing that you mentioned, Natalie, just about prioritizing, I think that's key. It's like, what do I need to get done today versus, you know, what can wait, and what, you know, it's going to be there tomorrow and next week and it's going to be fine.
Right. And she also talks about how every time management system that she's ever tried failed because of the way she conceives of it. She's like, I'm using this new to-do list app, or, you know, listing things in this order because I otherwise can't manage it. And I know that I'm going to get behind. So you obsess about managing something you think is unmanageable. But if you tell yourself it's manageable and I do have time and I will get to the most important things, you know, it's a perceptual shift more than anything else.
Yeah. And I think that you're right in saying that sometimes you have to say, well, you know, it's going to get done tomorrow. You know, I found that I'm taking this sewing class at the junior college, and we have different projects that are due, and I have a pair of pants due tonight, and they're just not going to be done. I just am not going to be able to finish it. And probably for the first time in my life, I'm going to turn in something late, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I mean, I'm not even taking the class pass, no pass. I might get a B. Oh my God. But I just, There's just no way, you know. I can work on them, you know, a limited amount of time I can work on them. I can't get to class early because, you know, Sean doesn't get home to watch Nick until right before I need to leave, and it's just the way it is. But I'm still, at the end of it, I'm going to have a pair of kick-ass linen pants that I made myself. They're not going to have pockets because I don't have time to do the pockets.
Can't wait to see them.
So I just think it's an idea. I think when you talk about changing your perception and the way you think about it, that's the most important part. You know, I'm just letting go of the fact that they're going to be late and they're going to be pocketless, but they're still going to be great.
I'm going to start talking to you because now I'm going to start to try making pants.
Well, I have a best sewing machine here too that I need to learn how to use. So maybe you can give us all a lesson.
Okay, I can do a lesson. I found a really cool tutorial on YouTube about how to make really easy baby pants out of an old t-shirt.
Oh, okay. How cute.
So I'm going to try that, and I will be blogging about it eventually.
All right. Well, I think we should wrap up. We've been going on and on. Hopefully you've enjoyed our conversation, and we'll participate on mommydebata.com, where, incidentally, we are also giving stuff away. Lots of fun stuff. We've got a Fitbit coming up to get us all in shape. We've got the B-Pod Flex Plus, which is a cute little baby chair, and also What to Expect, the book. We're going to be giving that away as well, which is something most of us read. Let's wrap up by doing our little victories, just the one thing that we all applaud collectively at the end of the week. Jennifer, you go ahead and share. What's your little victory of the week?
Great. Well, coming up on the rear of all the other mommy betas, Ella started cruising. So she's terrifying me going from one little thing to the other. But it's fun to watch. And I can definitely see that she's got a little, a bit of a risk, risk. She's kind of risky. Let's just put it that way. She's like, oh, can I reach down and pick up this toy while I'm standing up by this coffee table? I'm like, no, you can't. But she's trying all different things, and it's really fun to see.
That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Yay. Ew. Yeah, she does look like she's an adventurous one. So
there we go.
Watch out. You better watch out. So send us your comments at mb@mommybeta.com or comment on the blog or tweet us. It's @mommybeta. Thanks so much for listening to episode 9. We will hear you next week.
Bye, bye everybody.
Bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. Rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks, and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. You and me drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. Shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud.